Bible and turn to Matthew, the book of St. Matthew, chapter 3, first book of the New Testament. I learned something this week that really overwhelmed me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all end with an amen, a salutation. The book of Acts never ended with a salutation. It was just like right in the midst of Holy Ghost revival, it just stopped. And the reason for that is God didn't mean for it to stop. God meant for it to continue. God meant for it to go on and on. And I'm preaching this morning on the Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. And I'm glad it was a man called a Baptist that first said this beautiful truth in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. But here's my text. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I wonder if every voice in the building would join with me in quoting that last part, beginning with he, the pronoun for the Holy Ghost. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, I like that. I like that, and with fire. I'm telling you, I like that. I do. It really has got a hold of me this week. I'm asking everybody in this congregation to join me this week and to read the entire book of Acts between now and next Sunday morning, four chapters a day. That's 28 chapters, 7 days. You have to read four today to get started. Read four chapters every day. Start with Acts 1. Stay right in the context of the book and read it with me this week. Will you do that? I asked that on the radio yesterday and got a lot of commitments, I believe. Now, I want you to read the book of Acts. We have a revival starts in 4 weeks, and I want to read the book of Acts every week between now and that revival, four chapters a day, until the book of Acts becomes so enameled in our head that it's like it's painted on the wall of our brain, that it's painted on the wall of our very heart. So that we know this is God's word and it's real. It's real, the book of Acts. And we'll get to that before this sermon is over. The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. Father, in Jesus' name, lay your hand upon this unworthy preacher. I was never called to preach because I was learned. I was never called to preach because I was an orator. I was never called to preach because I could even talk good English. You called me to preach because you saved me and made a new creature out of me. And it was your calling. And there's no repentance to your calling, Father. And I give myself to you this morning to preach the word of God. You may be seated. The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. Would you say it with me? The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. Let's say that again, would you? The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. The church is helpless today across the world, across the globe. The church is helpless today because of one reason. They have allowed the fire of the Holy Ghost to go out. They have allowed the fire of the Holy Ghost to go out. Do you know when God established the temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple in Jerusalem, there was a rule that was laid down that could never be altered. They would light the fire when they started to use that temple or tabernacle, and the fire could never go out. How many know that's in the Bible? The fire could never go out. Now, everything in that Bible, in the Testaments, old or new, has a reason and has a message in them. The reason the fire was not allowed to go out in the temple or the tabernacle was because God never intends for the fire to go out. When the fire goes out in a church, you might as well lock the doors. When a fire goes out in a church, you might as well send the preacher somewhere to sell cars or do something differently. When the fire goes out, nothing of spiritual reason or value or purpose is going to occur. There's got to be fire in the house of the Lord. So the church is helpless without the fire of God. Fire of God's personality. I'm telling you, our world wants God without fire, but God does not want a church without fire. What's wrong with the world today? Why don't they come to a church that's preaching the old-fashioned word and full of the Holy Ghost? They don't want a church on fire. They want a church singing, having great music. They want a church with personalities. They want a church with programs. They want a church with games and schemes and every kind of thing you can imagine. But don't give us fire. Don't give us fire. Well, that's just the world. But God says, my church without fire is absolutely helpless. My church without fire is absolutely helpless. Do we understand that? The church has got to be a place of fire. The church has got to be a place of fire. Now, I want to say some things that I've probably never said, not at least not like what I'm going to say them. And I want you to make sure you hear me, because I want you to understand that God is a consuming fire. That's the first thing has got to get in your head. Now, if you'd like to make sure it's in the Bible, then you go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 4, and let me read you a verse in Deuteronomy 4 and 24, so I can make sure you understand I'm not preaching heresy, I'm preaching the Bible. And it says in Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. For the Lord our God is a consuming fire. Can you imagine? God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. God is not just granddaddy sitting up there on his throne. And God sure ain't no Santa Claus up there waiting to show up on Christmas Eve. I got a message for you. The God we are talking about in this Bible is a consuming fire. And he is a jealous God. And anywhere God is, now you can kind of, you can just kind of set it down in concrete. Anywhere that God is, there's going to be a consuming fire. Now, you say that's Old Testament scripture. And I'm not very, very strong on Old Testament truths. Well, I am only when they are very clearly authenticated in the whole of the Bible. We don't kill sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament. But I can tell you one thing, the standards of God are not different. The standards of God are not different. And in Hebrews, this is beautiful, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read it to you if I might. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, therefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Having a God like we have, we must serve him in reverence and godly fear. Now, why do we do that? He answers in the next verse. This is 29, Hebrews 12. For our God is a consuming fire. For our God is a consuming fire. So this morning, we can stand here in front of you and say that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is a trinity of consuming fire. Three distinct members of the Godhead, but each of them is uniquely the same. They express the exact same personalities. They express the exactly same theologies. They express exactly the same standards. They are perfectly united and perfectly one, and God is a consuming fire. So if God is a consuming fire, then Jesus is a consuming fire, and the Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. That just says it, don't it? Well, you say, man, if God's that kind of a God, and he's a consuming fire, I'm running. I'm going to find me another God. Well, you don't know yet what it means when it says God is a consuming fire. You just be patient with me a little bit, will you? A church without the fire of the Holy Ghost is a club. The church without the fire of the Holy Ghost may be a personality center. It may be a music hall. It may be a sports arena. It may be all kinds of things that our world has turned churches into. But let me tell you, a church without a consuming fire is not one of his churches. Because God is a consuming fire. The Lord Jesus is a consuming fire. The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire. And you've been feeling that fire this morning. It feels good, don't it? The fire of the Holy Ghost will warm you. The fire of the Holy Ghost will encourage you. The fire of the Holy Ghost will strengthen you. The fire of the Holy Ghost will move you closer to Him. The fire of the Holy Ghost will make you worship. The fire of the Holy Ghost will do so many things for you. There's no way I can name them all this morning. But I'm telling you, we have a God who is a consuming fire. And a church without consuming fire is not going to get anything done. The church world is dying. They're turning churches all over the world into music halls and art centers and mosques. If you knew how many churches in the world that used to be churches that are today a mosque, it would make you ferocious. They're turning churches into any and everything but old-time houses of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And you can go back and study the Presbyterian evangelists and the Methodist evangelists and the Moody evangelists, Baptist evangelists. You can go and study every group that's ever been. And any time they had men of God who was full of the Holy Ghost, they'd go places starting a fire. Oh, Charles Finney was a Presbyterian. Charles Finney was a Presbyterian, and when they would announce him coming to a town, the preachers in the town would get together and send him a welcome to stay out of their town. And they'd do everything they could to keep him from coming. And the only way they could survive was they'd send a group of people to pray in advance of Charles Spurgeon, and they would hide away in an apartment or some place of secrecy and pray until the power of the devil would break, and then the preacher would show up and they'd have a Holy Ghost revival. But they had fire. I can tell you in a book, I got the book of a Holy Ghost revival that took place right up here at Paul Creek in the Presbyterian church. It happened in the woods out from the church, and as many as 10,000 came to that revival, and they were falling under the power of conviction. They were falling under the move of the Spirit of God. You can find that in every denomination that would call themselves truly Christian that there's ever been. It's when the fire falls, something happens, and people are stirred, and sinners start repenting, and drunkards get saved, and harlots get saved, and people go out of the evil business of saloons and beer joints and liquor halls. Hallelujah. Because the fire of God makes the difference. When I went to my first little church to pastor at Tabor City, my first church, Mom and I, we got there in about 56, I guess it was, 57. It's 57, because it's been 57 years. And I met the preacher up at the Methodist church, and his name was Martin Chambers. So I went up to meet him, and he got to telling me about Holy Ghost revivals in the Methodist church. He was already about 70 or 75, kind of at his last little church. And I mean, his mother had taught my daddy in school, and so was able to connect back to family connections. And he told me about revivals where every beer joint in town closed down, where the drunkards got saved and got right with God. And this was Methodism. Can you hear me? Methodist, wherever the fire is, there's result. Do you hear me? It don't make no difference the name. God doesn't care what's on the sign out front. God cares what kind of fire is on the inside. Did you hear me? Is that right, brother? God don't care what name is on the front. He cares what's in the altar, what's in the house, what's going. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody help me this morning. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost. I've never wanted it so deeply and profoundly in my life, and it's coming. Hallelujah. Now, God's fire, you got to hear this. God's fire is unique. You understand fire. In fact, if you've got good brains, you stay away from fires. as far as getting involved in them, putting your hands in them. You don't put your hand in the furnace. You don't put your hand over the fireplace, up into the fire. You don't pick up hot, red-hot pokers. You just don't do that. You don't stick your hand into the oven when something is cooking and grab it with your naked hands. You know better. You know fire is dangerous, don't you? How many can say fire is dangerous? Come on, say it loud. Fire is dangerous. Well, I got news for you. God's fire is so unique, it's not even dangerous. The only thing it's dangerous for is that old sinner, that old bullhead who don't want to hear nothing God's got to say. All he wants is his own way. Let me tell you the story that first introduces God's fire in the Bible. This is God's first introduction of fire. And it's in the book of Exodus. You want to turn to it. Chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We'll go to verse 2 and listen carefully. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. God's fire burns whatever God wants it to burn. But God's fire is so unique, it burns nothing that is distinct from God. It burns distinct with God. It burns nothing that God has ordained or put his hand on, that God has blessed or loved. God's fire is so unique that it can burn just as hot as any fire the world's ever seen and not do one thing to that which belongs to God. The fire that burns up the trash encourages the fruit. The fire that burns up sin encourages righteousness. The fire that burns up darkness lights a light on the other side. Do you hear me? One side of fire is burning sin. The other side of fire is creating the light of heaven for somebody to see by. You can find that in the wilderness when the children of Israel was going through the fire. You go down to the river before they crossed over ahead of the Egyptians. And the fire on one side was light, and on the other side it was darkness. Do you understand that? The fire of God is unique. I've never saw that or thought of that in my life. But when I saw it, I almost lost it, to tell you the truth. It is so exciting to me. This is the beauty of God's fire. This is the beauty of God's fire. It is unique. It doesn't burn anything that's kin to God. It don't burn anything that's in the likeness of God. It don't burn anything that belongs exclusively to God. It don't burn anything that's pure and holy. Somebody raise a hand and help me. But it does burn sin and trash and godlessness and unholiness. And it burns up depression. And it burns up fears and doubts. It burns up gloom and sadness. It burns up anything that's not like God. You don't believe it, you get full of the Holy Ghost and fire, and you're going to find things disappearing out of your life. You're going to find everything changing, because the fire of God will burn up anything that's impure, and it will light the light of anything that's pure. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody shout for me. Hallelujah. 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 God's fire is purifying fire. God's fire is purifying fire. It makes something holy. It changes everything about them, Brother Johnson. It makes brand new people out of them. The fire of God is unique. Everybody say it with me, will you? The fire of God is unique. Come on. Come on. Come on. The fire of God is unique. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I feel like shouting instead of preaching. Hallelujah. I guess I can stop and just shout a little while, can't I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me show you one of the places that God's fire has done such a work. Go to Psalms 12. I actually read this last Sunday, but I want to read it again. Psalms 12, verse 6. The word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a fire of earth, purified seven times. You take iron ore out of the earth, silver ore. You take, you know, ore of gold, ore of any of the precious metals. You take the ore and it's all mixed. It's just most of the time it's a lot more ore than it is the substance you're looking for. But when you put it in a furnace of fire and you heat it, they separate. The gold goes to the top. Is that right? Gold goes to the top. Silver goes to the top. Does iron in a furnace of fire, does iron float to the top or does it float to the bottom? You're an engineer. Have you not learned that in college? You hadn't learned that. It goes down. Are you right? His dad's an engineer too. Son's on his way, but he isn't where dad is. Is that right, brother dad? I know. Oh, he won't even answer that one. I don't blame him. He's a smart man, I'm telling you. Listen, but you see, fire separates the ore from the substance that you want, and you want it to be pure. The Bible has been through God's furnace 7 times. 7 times, Roy. 7 times the Word of God's been through the furnace of God's divine holiness and God's divine holiness. 7 times the Bible has been through God's furnace of purity. God's fire has burnt this book 7 times. And everything that's left is pure as gold. Hallelujah. That's the good fire, brother. That's the good fire. That's the good fire. Did you hear me? The good fire will separate all the purity from the impurity. You get fire, and you know why the church is full of people that live like the world, and they're comfortable to smoke cigarettes and drink beer and they're comfortable to chase people in sin. Brother Ken told me about someone he witnessed to this week. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Why? I'm telling you why. Because the fire of the Holy Ghost has not been allowed to take the being and the person and the individual and all they are. I'm saying this morning, Joe Chambers, you've had enough failures in your life. You've made enough mistakes in your life. You've been unwise enough times in your life. I want you to purify me with the fire of the Holy Ghost until nothing has an escape from me but God's purity. Raise your hand and say that with me. God, let the fire burn me up until nothing is left but a sanctified vessel. That's what the fire do. It'll burn you up until nothing is left but a pure, sanctified, gentle, kind vessel. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You just raise your hand right where you're sitting and you just let it happen to you. You don't have to leave here. You don't have to walk down here. It can happen where you're sitting or where you're standing. God's holy fire will burn you up until you are a vessel of beauty and purity. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The born again life. What is the born-again life? It's a life where the old person, a spirit from God, you have a spirit from God when you're in sin, but it's dead. The spirit of your soul, that inner man, that person is going to live forever. Your body is not going to last forever, but you got an inner man, a spirit that's going to last forever, but in sin it's dead, wrapped up in trespasses. Full of wickedness, all kinds of things that it goes after. You can't sanctify it by your own self. It just ain't possible. You try your best to clean it up, make it do right, and you fall back in the same old trap. Why is that? Because it's got to be a fire from God that's got to clean you up. And I'm here to tell you, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Let's say it this way. Old things are burned up. Hallelujah. Is it okay to say it like that? Old things are burned up. Old things have been consumed out. And now you got a new man saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's in love with the same things that God's in love with. He loves the pure things, the beautiful things. And whatever don't get burned up in salvation. See, you not only have guilt that you come to Christ with, but you have a nature that you come to Christ with. When you get born again, he cleanses up all of that guilt and washes it out of your life. But then you need to be sanctified. What is sanctification? That's how God deals with that old man that you got from Adam, that everybody will have as long as you live. But when he's been sanctified, he's in a cage somewhere, and he can't get out. He'll try to get out. That old man will do his best. Sometimes I have the craziest dreams at night. And I ask God of the day, what are those dreams? Where they come from? He said, that's the old man in a cage that's trying to get out. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? That old man in a cage. So I've been sanctified. You say, Brother James, are you sure you've been sanctified? You ought to have known me when I wasn't. And you'd know as good as I do. Did you get that? Did you get that? I knew when he wasn't sanctified. And I wouldn't want nothing to do with you if you weren't sanctified. How many can look at your wife or your husband and say, I wouldn't want nothing to do with you if you weren't sanctified? Look at these fellas around you, Brother Dylan. I wouldn't want nothing to do with you, boy, if you weren't sanctified. Oh, I messed up the hair. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I'm kidding him. Hallelujah. Isn't God so good? Isn't God so good? I said, isn't God so good? Somebody raise your hand and say, I claim my sanctification by the blood of Jesus. Will you? I claim my sanctification right now. I claim that old man that's in a cage. I claim him so dead. He can't even say nothing. I want him put to death so he can't even dream. That's what I want. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Father, sanctified by the blood and then filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Anybody got that? Some of you aren't even awake. Wake up. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Am I too loud? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, let me tell you something. When the fire of the Holy Ghost has burned through you and you've turned everything over to Him, you've been saved and sanctified and baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's not enough devils in hell to get you. There's not enough devils in hell to stop you. They'll come after you with every crook and turn, but you just stand strong, purified, made holy. I don't want what you got, devil. You can't tempt me with your mess. See, the devil tries to tempt an old Holy Ghost-filled saint with his mess, and they don't even want his mess. Is that the way it is with you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love to walk around a little bit and speak to you. I hope you don't mind that. That's kind of part of my nature. I've been fussed at about it. But I want you to know that you are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and that every bit of the dross has been burned out of your life. And I'm trying to get back to my text. I get off on these rabbit trails, my wife calls them. God help us to understand. God help us to understand, when the Holy Ghost gets through with you, He consumes all the dross. You say, I'm having problems, Brother Chambers, with depression. Holy Ghost power and fire will absolutely break its hold over you. That's why I'm preaching this, because I love you. I'm not preaching this to criticize nobody. I'm not up here to put my... I've been down the same road you going down. I walk the same walk you walk. I face the same devils you face. I'm not up here to do nothing but tell you the consuming fire of the Holy Ghost will clean nothing out of your life but that which is unlike the Lord. And it will fill what's left with so much joy. Hallelujah. On one side of the fire of the Holy Ghost is cleansing, but on the other side of the fire of the Holy Ghost is joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fire makes you so full of joy that you can't keep quiet. You know why some of you don't have enough shout in you to say amen, some of you. Now listen to me, I'm talking to you. Some of you don't have enough fire in you to say amen. You get good and full of fire, and amens that come rolling out of you, and you can't stop them. Now how many of you want that kind of fire? Do you want that kind of fire? Do you want that kind of fire? Well, get up on your feet a little bit and say, God, fill me with Holy Ghost fire. Fill me with Holy Ghost anointing. Make me a vessel that God can use. Sanctify me until the old man is dead. Hallelujah. And I'm full of the Holy Ghost, Brother Johnny. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the fire of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him and magnify Him a minute, would you? Glory, 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 glory. The Holy Ghost is a unique fire that burns up nothing but that which is unlike the Lord. I love that. The Holy Ghost is unique fire. It can't touch that which is pure. It can't touch that which is holy. It can't touch that which is godly. Because it only burns the ungodly and the impure and the unholy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just got to help you now. I got to help you now. I really want you to listen to me carefully. You got fears? You don't need to go nowhere but to an altar and let the fire of the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire. God's wanting to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's numbers of you in this building. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You ought to have both hands in the air right now and just saying, God, fill me right now. I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't need to wait. I'm ready. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want that fear that I've been dealing with. You've been dealing with that, Brother Tim. And I'm here to tell you, I bind it in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost burns that fear. The Holy Ghost burns that fear. You've been dealing with depression. Depression is a big thing today. I have to fight it. How many of you have to fight depression? Do you mind raising your hand? How many of you right now would like the Holy Ghost to cleanse you of all depression? Throw your hand up. Don't start with telling him how much you love him. Start with telling him you repent of everything that would open the door to that depression. Will you do it? I repent of anything. Sometimes I'm careless with my prayer life. Sometimes I'm careless in my Bible reading. Sometimes I get so tied up in doing all the things around this building and out in these yards, the yard where we live. I don't have time to pray like I should. And then I get depressed. And then I have to say foot with the yard and foot with the lawnmower and fooey with this and fooey with that. I'm going to pray. I did that this week. That's why the yard don't look very good this morning. But I want to tell you something. I got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. I got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. I can't survive without it, Brother Allen. I can't survive without it. And you get the fire moving in you, and the sinner who winds up in your presence when you're full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, he trembles. Amen. See, that's always been the case in great Holy Ghost revival. They didn't have to send out no advertisements. They didn't have to put up billboards. They didn't have to go looking for some way to tell everybody. But the saints of God were full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And everywhere they'd go, they was advertising revival. Well, where do you go, church? Where'd you get that joy? Where'd you get such purity in your life? Where did you get this victory? I can see you got. Now all you got to do is tell them, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm after. I want you to know this world wants something real. You know why the Joel Osteens are making such mark on multitudes, tens and tens and tens of thousands, is because the church don't have the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know why Mike Murdoch can get on television and brag and beg and get millions and millions and live in the top of the community in million-dollar homes? I'll tell you why. Because the real Holy Ghost hasn't been burning in our midst. And that's got to end. You and I have got to understand this has got to be a Holy Ghost-filled church. Not just a good church of good people with a preacher that preaches truth, but the fire of the Holy Ghost. Now wave your hand with me. Everybody standing, please. The fire. Hear me, saith the Lord. My fire is real, and it burns up all dross, all negativities, all fears and failures and depressions. My fire is of me, and it's pure fire. On one side of my fire is joy. On the other side is the burning up of sin. You give yourself to me, saith the Lord, and I will do in you exactly what you need. Humble yourself and seek me, saith God. I feel his presence and power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants to give this place a Holy Ghost revival, a shaking like we have never seen. Oh, Dad, it's about to happen. It's about to happen. Fill it. God just filled her with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exactly what she needed this morning. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody shouting and praising God with all of your heart. Hallelujah. 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 I like that. I like that. I like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rush him up and lay out more. Hallelujah. Would you believe that God told me this morning he was going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost while I was preaching? Hallelujah. And I had trouble believing it because it has never happened before in my life. I want you to know. Oh, hallelujah. Raise your hands and hallelujah. Raise your hands, everybody in this building, and praise him with all your heart. Praise him and love him. Hallelujah. Oh, revivals are coming. Revivals are coming, Alan. Revivals are coming, Tim. He's setting you free this morning, buddy. I'm saved, sanctified. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God, for filling that with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They see the Kotaramadayava. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right where you stand, Brother Dylan, God fill him with the Holy Ghost. I told my son, Brother Corbia. Hallelujah. God's filling people with the Holy Ghost this morning. Why don't you be one of them, huh? Hallelujah. You look up and be answerable. Hallelujah. 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 We're just praising and shouting. We're just praising and blessing him. We're just loving him. Hallelujah. 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 Declaring some of the sick of fire. Hallelujah. Just at the mile. Hallelujah. I claim you say, I yield. Had to my say, hallelujah. 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 Woo! What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I want everybody to come and stand at this altar. Pray for me. No, don't pray. Let's just pray this morning, Brother Ed. What do you say? Come on here and join us. Everybody, let's just pray. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. We don't need no music to pray by, do we? Come and pray. Everybody in the building, visitors, come on. Come on, visitors. Make yourself at home. Dear ladies, just come right down here with us and be part of us. We're not going to put nothing on you. If anything happens to you, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I lay me on the altar. Lord, I lay me on the altar. Lord, I